Bible said they seem but a short time for the he'd have to love her, he's crazy one. They seem but a short time for the love he had for her. And at the end of the 7 years when he married her, here's old smooth Uncle Laban, swaps the women and he consummates the wedding with the wrong one. Her sister. And he goes storming out to that smooth Uncle Laban and said, "What have you done to me?" He said, "Well, anyway, she's a better worker than a sister. Tell you what we'll do, son-in-law. Strike a deal here. Now, you really wanted that first, and 7 more years and you can have her." He said, "I'll do it another 7 years." Most men work 7 years to get shed of their wife. I'm telling you, rid of their wife. That's country talk there. 7 years, boy, that's but a day to get rid of that old bat. Let her ride out on a broomstick. That's how it is today. Telling you. So another 7 years, and at 14 years, then he got the wives that he wanted, plus help from other sides too. Now, in time, things begin to grow sour. Jacob stayed up there with that smooth Uncle Laban 20 years. And twice it says here, Jacob went to Uncle Laban and said, "Now look, you cheated me on my wives twice and said you've changed my wages 10 different times. And I figured it up each time he got a reduction in his wages." How's that for you? Let's say he's making $10 a week, next time $9. And it gradually was reduced. And so now here's the guy whose name means guile, cunning, tricky, managed to outdo his twin brother, really do him a dirty deal, got the birthright. When dad died, that means right by birth. When dad died, all the riches went to him and his brother got the scraps that were left. And so God says, "Now, you did a good job in cheating your brother." So for the next 20 years, God kept saying and whispering it to Jacob at night, "Hey, buddy, how do you like being on the end of a dirty deal? Hey, Jacob," 10 years later, "Hey, Jacob, how do you like being on the end of a dirty deal?" And for 20 long years, God kept whispering in that man's ear, "Hey, tricky man. Hey, beguiling one. Hey, cunning fellow. Don't you enjoy being on the end of a dirty stick for 20 years? And I'm going to tell you, during that time, Jacob discovered what man was like. Man was like. All right, now the third one. You know the story where Jacob had enough of it. He had enough after 20 years. I'd had enough after 5 years. That's the way I work. 20 years, he said, "I can't handle this anymore." And he went into his favorite wife and said, "Look, dear," he said, "get out the Samsonite suitcases, pack them up." He said, "Get the camels loaded." He said, "We're getting out of here." She said, "Dad won't let you go." He said, "We're going to leave while he's sleeping." And he packed up. And I want to tell you, you mustn't believe that Jacob just had, you know, 5 or 6 camels and some servants. And they were shooing along some old ragged-tailed sheep. I want to tell you, Jacob had thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the great company that left his old smooth Uncle Laban. And how they got out that night, I'll tell you, God must have socked it to him, and he really put old Uncle Laban to sleep. Because how they got out that night, I don't know, but they all managed to exodus out of Haran, and Jacob started on his way back home. Now, he remembered, "I've got a brother down there that I did dirt to 20 years ago. And I wonder how it's going to be. I've been hearing that Esau has become an Edomite. And I remember how well my brother could shoot an arrow and throw a spear. He was a hunter. And all that deer meat, that's how I beat my dad out of the birthright, by some deer meat. And my brother's really a wild man. In fact, the Bible says he would be enemies to many men." And so as Jacob packed up his wives and his children, he had 11 boys at this time and 1 girl. Benjamin, the last one, was born en route. And Jacob's great train makes their way back down south to the Oaks of Mamre, where he knew his brother was camping. On his way down there, Jacob had his third experience. And in this third experience, about 10 miles away from where his brother was camped, he pulled up one evening at sundown. They pitched the tent. The herdsman brought the cattle in, put the rings and guards about them and so forth. And that night, Jacob told his wife, said, "You know what, I'm restless. I'm going to go down by the river called Jabbok, and I just think I'm going to spend the night in prayer." Maybe the wife said, "Well, what are you wondering about?" "Well, I'm just concerned about Esau. Somebody passed through here yesterday and said they saw him with 400 men, and he was galloping rather swiftly in this direction. And so he said, you know, I found out what God's like. I found out what man's like. And he said, wives, I'm going to go down by the river Jabbok and I'm going to spend the night in prayer. And I want to tell you, as old Jacob began to pray, suddenly he looked up and there stood a man before him, dressed, ready to wrestle. And Jacob looked at him and said, who are you? And he said, I'm an angel of God. The prophet Amos says it was God himself. It was an early appearing. It's called in theology a theophany. It was an early appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in human form. And Jacob grabbed him and said, you must bless me and you must help me. What do you need, Jacob? You've been a crook. You've been a shyster. We met you here 20 years ago. You said you'd bring a tithe back to the house of God. Remember the vow you made. Second place is mentioned in the Bible there. And Jacob said, yes, I know I did all that. And yes, I spent the 20 years up there. But he said, I want to tell you something. I don't think I can handle my brother Esau. I've got to have some divine help. You know what the angel said? He said, you got to beat me in a fair wrestling match. See if you can pin me down. And this is one of those places where the Son of God reduced himself again to the limitations of the flesh. And I want to tell you, Jacob set into that man and they wrestled all night long. The sweat and the sand on grisly bodies and the heat and in and out of the water and up and down the leaves and branches. And they wrestled all night long. Jacob was desperate. If he didn't have the help of a divine being, his brother would kill him and all of his family and take what was left for him himself, and the birthright would be his after all. It's very interesting. As the day dawned, the angel said, I surrender. You win. Aren't you glad sometimes, you behave yourself, preacher. Aren't you glad sometimes the Lord says that? Aren't you glad? Now, some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Some of you think I'm talking about beating God. I'm talking about God beating us. That's what that means. And the angel said, all right, I'm going to bless you. And says, you're going to be a prince of all the people. And he disappeared. And Jacob got up and took a step. And you know what? He was limping. And as a result of that wrestling match and winning that victory in prayer, Jacob never walked the same the rest of his life. Some of you need a limp. Some of you quite conspicuously don't have a limp. Some of you quite obviously don't want a limp. To this very day, Orthodox Jews will eat no meat around the shank bone. That's where Jacob's thigh was thrown out of place. And the reason they don't eat any meat, Orthodox Jews, not the others, Orthodox Jews today, is because they say that did you ever have the shank itself out of place? Now, I had one slightly playing football, and brother, now you can throw it back in quickly. His was never thrown back in. And he walked like that the rest of his life. I sat up here the other day with my grandson, went in to get something to eat, you know, Taco Bell, went in to get something to eat, and a man got out of the car, and I thought, boy, he's a big, strong, healthy guy, and to my amazement, when he walked in, he was going like that, and I thought, uh-huh. Can you imagine when Jacob walked back in that tent, and all the kids get, well, Daddy, what's happened? Honey, I've been with God. And his wife jumped up and said, well, Jacob, can I help you? Leave me alone. Best thing that ever happened. I've been with God. And all the kids, they all deserve, well, Master, what's happened? Said, I've been with, well, why? He's done changed my way of walking.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to walk different now because I've had a victory in prayer with God, and Jacob was never the same again. Amen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now let's go to Joseph, shall we? The last one. Remember the second half of Genesis 12 through 50. Out of it, the beginnings of the Hebrew history, four great men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, if you and I, I know me, if I had written Genesis, I wouldn't have, Brother Tony, you know this, I wouldn't have put it Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the last, you know what I would have put it? I would have put it Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. That's how I would have put it. You see, when God was ready to start the Hebrew race, he called out a man named Abraham. And from Abraham, he built a nation. And 2,000 years later, in the nation was born a virgin. And from that virgin came the Savior of the world. That's the chief purpose of God giving the Hebrew race. I know they gave the Word of God and so forth. That's the chief purpose. And we must understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah, not Joseph. Abraham, if I had written it, I'd have put Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, because that's the line through which the Savior came. But God didn't put it that way. Now why? Why doesn't it say that? Why does it say Joseph when Joseph wasn't in the family line at all? Now I'll tell you why. Some of you know already, look, I'm not really big on Bible typology. Now, I know it's there because I read Hebrews enough to realize that. Now, when you find a type in the Old Testament and it's explained as that in the New Testament, I think it's quite legitimate. There are some people today, and I'll tell you, they'll take everything in the Old Testament and try to make something out of it when God hasn't written it to be like that at all. I'm satisfied that's true. All that started with a crackpot named Origen who lived in Egypt. He was a heretic many, many years ago. And that's wrong handling the Bible. However, there is no man in the 39 books of the Old Testament who is more like Jesus, than Joseph. Now, with Judah, that was the line. With Joseph, the likeness of Jesus. Let me read you just a few that I've fished out for you. Everywhere I look, now listen to this. The story of Joseph covers 25% of the book of Genesis. Can you believe it? You'd think Abraham would cover 25%. You'd think, not Isaac, maybe Jacob, but no. The man Joseph gets almost 25 full chapters of the book in Genesis. And he's not in the line. He doesn't. God, listen. God is more interested in a man being like Christ than in the line of Christ. Listen to this. Everywhere you look at Joseph, you see Jesus. He was the Father's well-beloved son. He came unto his own brethren, and his own brethren received him not. His brethren hated him. His brethren sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Like Jesus. He was handed over to the Gentiles, and they made him an object of mockery and shame, and he suffered at the hands of the Gentiles for sins Joseph did not commit. He's made to suffer tremendously. He's taken out from amongst his brethren down into a foreign country, and he is put in the place of death. But Brother Fraze, he's not there very long until he has the keys of death in his hand. Hey, oh. In the place of death, and soon, Dan, he's the turnkey of the prison. And he said, he can't hold me because I've got the keys of this shoot house jail in my hands. I'm in charge of this. Don't tell me he wasn't like Jesus. When he was in that prison in Egypt, there were two peculiar men that came into his life. On one occasion, the door opened and enrolled the king's baker and the king's butler. One day, Joseph noticed they were very sad, and he went, first of all, to the butler, and he said, "Why are you sad?" Said, "You look so downcast." Said, "What's wrong?" And the butler said, "Oh, Joseph said, I had a dream. Said, I must tell you the dream." And Joseph said, "Tell me the dream, and I'll tell you the meaning of it." And I wish we'd listen to this now. You know, we've shoved this down the mouths of kids long enough, and it's good. I think the story of Joseph and his brothers is the greatest story in all ancient literature. That's my opinion of this story here. There's no story like it. The greatest. And so here comes the butler. And the butler said, "I had a dream." And said, "I saw a vine growing with grapes, red grapes full of blood. And said, I plucked them. And said, I went before the king, before whom I had found this favor. And I said, oh, king, all I've got to offer you is the blood I'll squeeze out." and I squeezed that blood out before the king and squeezed that blood out before the king. I had nothing else to bring. I brought the blood of the grapes before the king. And the king said, I like that. Said, you're forgiven and restored back to favor. Whoopee. That's what he said. Next day, here comes the baker. And the baker said, I'm feeling misery. What's wrong? Said, I had a dream last night. Jacob said, tell me the dream and I will interpret it for you. You better find out if you're baker class or butler class, buddy. You're one of those classes. Tell me the dream. Said, well, I was released, went back to the ovens, and said, I want you to know I baked rolls, I baked Egyptian pastry, I baked chocolate cakes. He said, I spent hours, the works of my hands, said, I needed that dough. He said, when I got through, said, there had never been a presentation of bakements like I was going to give to the king. And in pride, I put them on my head. And in pride, I strolled down to the king's palace with the works of my hands, and I didn't know the fowls were eating them up. Some of you don't know that. And when I stepped in the king's presence, I said, oh, king, here's what I've got to offer you. The works of my hands. And the king says, take him out and hang him. I don't want him around anymore. Where do you fit? Are you a baker believer or a butler believer? One day there was a clank and that door opened. And there stood Potiphar, king of Egypt, and said, you're free. You're free. And Jacob was freed. Joseph was freed. I wish I had time to give you the whole story. Taken out of that place of death and exalted to the right hand of the king. I told you he had the keys. And his name was changed to Zephaniah, which means every knee shall bow. And the king said, and listen, the king said, my son, be seated at my right hand. You have the keys. You're in charge of all of Egypt. When you ride through, every knee in Egypt will bow, of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and you'll be riding a white horse through the land of Egypt, and everybody will worship you, Zaphnath-Paneah, at the right hand of the mightiest man in the world. And listen to this one. After he got settled in at the king's right hand, he married a Gentile bride. How's that one for you, buddy? That'll make that red hair glow, won't it? Yes, sir. That'll plug you up right there. And I'm telling you, Bob, I happen to be one of them, too. On that thing, right? Married a Gentile bride. Let me conclude with this for you. Did you ever notice, probably you haven't, but let me just share it with you. Did you ever notice how God described the creation of the stars? The stars. Stars. Not the frogs. Stars. Today it blows men's minds. How he described them. In Genesis 1:16, God dismissed the creation of the stars with five words. He made the stars also. Big deal. Stars. You see, and yet with the story of Jacob, God uses 25 chapters. Five words for the stars. Five chapters for Joseph. What's the lesson? I'll tell you what the lesson is. God is more interested in us being like His Son than He is in making stars. Now, where do we fit tonight? You can have the line, the lineage of Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. There you have it. The second half of Genesis, chapter 12 through 50. The beginnings of the Hebrew race. Four great men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, not Judah, not the lineage, Joseph, the likeness, the book of Genesis. Thank you. Let's stand for prayer, shall we?